Hi, welcome to another film study. This is Ken McCusick, here to do By the Numbers this week. And my co-host and I, Dan Reese, take you through the numbers and how they tell the story of the Ravens season so far. Dan, how you doing?
Doing great. Another crazy week for the Ravens. Nothing we haven't gotten to expect, though, but a pretty wild one.
Pretty not hard to find interesting numbers around these games, the way exactly. The Ravens have been playing about them. But start us off, my friend.
All right, sounds good. So 4.7, that's the intended air yards for Tyler Huntley. First off, what a performance, given the fact mm-hmm. that he came basically right off the bench and surprised right before the game that he was starting. Amazing performance, but kind of shows a little bit of what he was asked to do. 4.7 yards, very short intended air yards, second lowest in week 11. That compares to 10.1 that's Lamar's average intended air yards for the year, which is really high. But that was a lot of things. Tyler Huntley, kind of what they wanted to expect of him, a hard pass rush, iffy offensive line, a lot of components, but just kind of shows what they were asking of Tyler Huntley this week.
Yeah, it was a good performance, and I have another Tyler Huntley stat. I think I'm going to jump into that one first because I think it feeds off this a little bit. So the Ravens had 76 offensive plays in this game. So those numbers are 76, 23, and 3.9. 76 offensive plays for the Ravens, 23 first downs. 76 plays, excellent. 23 first downs, also good. If your team would do that consistently, it'd be you generally out first down the other team. And 3.9 yards per play, which is absolutely terrible. And it not only is it terrible, it's completely incongruous with those other two statistics. You would have incongruous, incongruent, whichever the correct word is. You don't usually get 76 plays or 23 first downs if you're averaging 3.9 yards per play, but the Ravens somehow did it. And it was a lot of this very focused on the short gain kind of thing. They did it both in the run and the pass. They were very poor totals for both. They still were able to control the ball effectively, control the play count and time of possession, and most important, keep the Bears offense off the field, hold them to 57 snaps.
Yeah, they definitely, maintain control of the game, whether it was, by snap count or time of possession, both that they just wanted to be in control, right? That's not necessarily always a formula to win, but when you are, having a backup QB, I think it is you want to be the decision maker going on, in the game. So I think that makes sense. And they just were really chipping away, just little things, and I think that was evident in the air yards and in the, the yards per play. So
more than any other game recently, didn't you get kind of the impression this was like Jim Thorpe era football, is like punt the other guy deep and let him make a mistake because, hey, nobody's moving the ball offensively. If you want to talk about a Ravens team, the 2000 Ravens and their ability to play this back and forth field position game, it was equally good. And, eventually Dalton broke through with a couple of pass plays and had a bunch of broken tackles to flip field position on the Ravens. But the Ravens did a very good job.
Yeah, it definitely was kind of old school, quote unquote, ugly football. Mm-hmm. The defenses both played well, but the offenses, were pretty ugly on both sides, I think. So, all right. My next numbers are three sets of numbers. 78.7%, 58.0%, and 31.3%. So these are all win probabilities based off of NFL Faster's model. So what these probabilities were 78.7% was the probability that Chicago wins after they scored the touchdown. Mm-hmm. The 50.0% is the win probability if they had just gotten the first down on that fourth down play. And the 31.3% was the win probability on the fourth down. So it went from 31%, and then as soon as they completed it, it could have gone from 58% or 78.7%. You know, I've heard a lot, you know, this week about discussions, I guess Harbaugh kind of mentioned in an interview or one of his, you know, one of the press meetings that the decision was they kind of either wanted to stop them or let them score, you know, and that kind of made sense to me until I kind of looked at this model and realized, at least based on this model, the first down wasn't quite, you know, it wasn't quite the same. You know, it's not like letting them score, you have a better chance. You know, they still had had only a 58% chance if they had them at a, you know, just a first down. So I don't think they were quite at the level of, all right, let's get them, let them score, or stop them or let them score, like Harbaugh talked about. So maybe a little bit of coach speak and covering for Wink a little bit, but I thought that was interesting, the difference compared to what Harbaugh was talking about.
Yeah, it's an interesting set of numbers you got. And they don't differ too much from the numbers I'm about to give you on the next one. But the 31.3%, I think that's the key number you need to minimize if you're Harbaugh. So if he's saying that the defense they played really reduced their chance to 26% to, you know, stop them short of a first down, but it also increased their touchdown percentage, I'd say, let's talk about that. Yeah, maybe that's a reasonable alternative you're doing. But if you're not reducing that 31.3% from what I assume is like a league average number that's projected from the faster model, then I don't think you really have anything. All right. So along those same lines, we're going to look at two numbers. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with 98.6% and 80.2%. And these are numbers that the first I developed for myself. The NFL's field goal percentage from under 30 yards in 2021 is 98.6%. Okay, 142 out of 144, I believe, is the number. 80.2% is the Bears' chance to win, given the Ravens the ball at their own 25 with a 5-point lead. That does not differ much from your number of 78.7%.
Yep.
Okay. So we got a close number there, and it difference in model, that's fine. It might be the difference in yard line assumption. But either way, 80.2%. So I'd look at it this way, is if the way the Bears can get access to the 98.6% is by Goodwin going down anywhere close to the goal line. It goes down to the 5-yard line. The Ravens had two timeouts. They had to take one there. They could then snap the ball three times to get to fourth down. Twice of those would have been the unstopped rolling clock, and they would have gotten down to the last few seconds and been able to kick a field goal in the last play and win the game with 98.6% probability. Now, you could maybe argue, oh, it was windy, you don't know, Chicago, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I still think it's over 95% easily. And the Bears basically gave the game to the Ravens gave the Ravens another chance, at least, on that very play by not having the proper information in the huddle. I think it was one of many bad coaching elements in this game that they were not prepared for a potential good outcome in this particular case. And you know, Harbaugh can talk about, you know, wanting them to score quickly. He's lucky they didn't know not to score quickly is what really happens.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen this a couple times this year. I forget which team it was that pulled someone into the end zone.
Yes, that was Cleveland.
Cleveland. Oh,
I'm sorry, I wasn't there. Cleveland, okay. Against San Diego. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I think teams are definitely starting to look into this more and more, and obviously as they should. And if you're not, then you're just losing these percentage points, and that sort of decision, that's a huge, you know, nearly 20%. That's unbelievable if you're going to make that decision. You know, so
there's literally nothing you can do to start with a game plan about your football game at the beginning that increases your percentage chance to win it like that. You know,
it'd be interesting to like see how many points you have to spot, like 14 points or something like that in the beginning of the game to be blow that bad of a call. And it's just amazing because it's not that hard. Like, you do see people that, you know, ran and took a knee or slid at the 1-yard line. So it's not this like mind blowing, a difficult decision to think about. Like, but you know, it is amazing that sort of thing can make such a big difference. So, and it'll be interesting to see which teams really can take advantage of that, because there's a big disparity when coaches and teams take advantages of rules and situations. So, mm-hmm. All right. Next one I've got is 0.921 and negative 0.152. So that's the Ravens EPA per snap on the final drive, their offensive drive, compared to the rest of the game. So that the last Ravens drive for the touchdown averaged 0.921 expected points added per play versus negative 0.152. That's just an amazing difference. They averaged 12.2 yards gained per play compared to 3.4. You know, I'm not really sure where the Ravens pulled that out. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, great. They can score here, but what part of the rest of the game made you think that they were going to be able to march down the whole field? It was just amazing. And, you know, I read, I forgot who, but on Twitter that Tyler Huntley was the fourth quarterback in the last 30 years to record a game winning drive with under 2 minutes left in their first NFL start. So just an amazing situation. So, you know, especially after not being able to do anything all game. So just, it's just amazing that they were able to flip the switch and be really successful on that final drive.
I mean, you're breaking it down to EPA per play here, which is a good way to do it, obviously. But they had seven plays on that drive. Seven times 0.921 is something slightly over, what, about 6.45 or so, mm-hmm. roughly. So I guess what it's saying is they really only had about a half a point of expected to start that drive. Or maybe it didn't include a play on somehow in there.
Yeah, they got a holding for negative 10, I think. So, you know, that adjusted a little bit. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, it basically, they just marched it the whole way down. It's pretty wild.
I one of the things I say to people who say, hey, you couldn't have expected Huntley to do it, is a four down football situation, which is always better. But I agree, in terms of the seconds and the yards they had to go and all that, I mean, it was amazing that Huntley was able to do that. Simply astounding. He's able to drive him down like that. All right. I've got the next stat is 3-0. Three is the number of timeouts used by the Bears in the second half with the clock stopped and them in possession of the football. So they had incomplete, and touchdown. They called a timeout after each of those three. It doesn't get much worse than that. All I could say is in terms of wasting your timeouts. And I know there was this whole headset thing and, you know, all those things. But Nagy certainly deserves to be fired, you know, given that. I don't know if it's actually going to happen. The Bears owner apparently has come out and said that he's not firing him after the Lions game. And I think part of that might be hygienic, you know, the way that companies somehow want to have a penny of earnings sometimes, because the Bears have never in their 101-year history fired a coach in the middle of the season. So they may decide, you know, we don't want to do that. But in truth, now there's an advantage that you can talk to new coaches in the last 2 weeks. Second number in that was zero. That's the number of timeouts called when the Bears were not in position on the 15-yard throw to Bateman. So they did not call a timeout at that point to try and stop and see if they could get the snap covered. And what it appeared to be, and it was a very strange situation, the Ravens made a three-out, three-in change where they took off their three heavies from the previous play. Really weird situation, but one where it was clearly premeditated. Just take a moment on this, because I don't think I've explained this fully on any of the shows this week. Devin Duvernay ran out of bounds. I don't remember if he ran the play, but he was just a yard short of the marker, and they went to review on that play right before this. So instead of it being a first down, it became fourth and one at that point, and the review actually did not change the call, but it became fourth and one. They took about 2 minutes to review that call. Plenty of time for Roman and Harbaugh, or whatever other form of coaches were involved in this, to come up with this premeditated two-play plan. So they sent in a heavy unit to run the quarterback power left, and Huntley picked up 8 yards in the first down. That ran the clock down into the 40s in terms of the second. And they immediately shot their three heavies off the field, shot their three lights onto the field that included Bateman, Duvernay, and Andrews. Were the three guys who replaced the three heavy tight end types they brought off, including Ricard, Boyle, and Tomlinson. Mm-hmm. And they immediately were ready to go. The Bears were not. The Bears apparently thought they might have been covered in terms of changing it reflexively to the offense. But as Sterator explained, no, that's not the rule in the last 2 minutes. In the last 2 minutes, that's not allowed. So they weren't allowed to make that change. And they could have called a timeout and stopped the process. And I was surprised by it. I didn't know that rule. Tony Romo didn't know that rule. And he's like, wow, that's pretty savvy kind of thing. But Gene Steratore explained it. And I absolutely a great out-coaching of that Bears team that had to be premeditated during those 2 minutes they had during Duvernay's review. So yeah, very interesting little piece of inside football, I thought, from the Ravens there.
Yeah, the Ravens do a good job of, you know, finding those loopholes. It's definitely frustrating when the Patriots used to do that to us.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've definitely found a good, you know, been pretty good about that over the last couple of years, whether it's the holds on, you know, on the last play of the game or taking the safety on punts, different things like that. They've had a couple of different things. So, you know, that they're definitely trying to find those loopholes, and you know, it's great to see them take every advantage that's out there. And as far as the timeouts, it's just unbelievable. Just you know, it's just terrible. And with a rookie QB and then a backup QB, you're using them when, you know, not to help them, but rather just in terrible junk situations. Basically, it's just a real example of why that organization is where it is, you know. So all right, my next set of numbers is 5.68, negative 0.26, and 30.8%. So the first two is the EPA on the two scoring plays when the Ravens were on defense versus the 73 other snaps that the Ravens were on defense. So those two plays was average EPA of 5.68, and all the other 73 snaps were negative 0.26. So I know we've talked about this on other weeks, but I had to bring it up again. Just night and day on how the defense does on almost every other snap, and then just a couple of really, really bad snaps. You know, one with missed tackles. You know, Mooney is right. Fast. So, you know, he gets credit for some of that, but it was bad tackles and bad angles. And then the other one, you know, we can discuss whether it was intentional, risky defense, whatever, you know, but a big play nonetheless. They allowed 109 yards on those two plays, which accounted for 30.8% of the yards allowed in that game. That's just remarkable.
Incredible.
So, yeah. They also only allowed one snap in the red zone all game on defense. So pretty wild. They did a really good job overall on defense. You know, they just really need to find some way to limit those big plays.
So just to go through that, 73 plays for minus 19 expected points. That's 73 times minus 0.26. And then two for 5.68, which is going to be 11.4 points to the good. Mm-hmm. And so overall, you can see they were still had a very poor effort, even with those two great plays. But when you really look at it and see, hey, it was only those two good plays. Boy, good defensive effort again from the Ravens. They can be proud of this one.
Yep.
I will talk. The next thing I'm going to do is let's do this one because it relates to the defense. 7, 10, and 1.4. 7 is the number of 6-plus man rushes the Ravens had used prior to the 49-yard touchdown to Mooney. No, to Goodwin. To Goodwin. And they'd done, in fact, the previous four plays had all been a 6-plus man rush. They decided to run 8 this time. Of the 7 previous plays, they'd gone for a total of 10 yards or 1.4 per play. So the point coming out of this is that I don't think it's fair to say Wink should have known that it wasn't going to work. It had been working all game. Not only had the numbers been working, every form of deception they used, including stunts, simulated pressures, and coming with off-ball blitzes, all of that worked as well during this game. And I have numbers for that in the article people can go look at. But, you know, it's kind of hypocritical to say on 4th and 11 that they should have known that it was going to fail this time. Well, you know, do you know when you're going to roll a 7 at craps? Because if you do, I want to be there at the table, and you can just tell me every time.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, this kind of goes back to what you're talking about in the beginning of the call or the podcast, where, you know, if he thought this play call was going to drop that 31% lower, then, you know, that's the right call, not really just the risks. So, you know, the one counter I would say is that they're, you know, on a couple of those plays where the Bears were able to throw it deep based off of big rush, they were just didn't really connect, you know, just a couple mm-hmm. steps out, which, you know, that's because they're rushing the quarterback, you know, they're hurrying him. So, you know, I think there was some argument that they were so close to hitting on a couple of those. There was a sideline play, I think, where it was just out of bounds. Yes. But you know, I think it's just, it would be great if it worked out and then we wouldn't be talking about this, but it ended up working out anyway. So
how about if it had gone in the in-between thing and they missed the pass, but the roughing the passer had gone through as is. I mean, that could have been a nightmarish slow death to get 15 yards there. And then one more first down out of Dalton on four plays. And they got a pretty easy field goal attempt.
Yeah, it would have been rough. You know, that would have been, you need a sack or those rough field goal situations that, you know, that we were talking about before to come into play, because and you know, that's what Harbaugh was kind of referring to, I think, but yeah, that would have been devastating if you finally got a stop and then got the penalty. So that would have been rough for sure. All right, my next numbers are looking ahead. I've got three numbers looking ahead to Cleveland. 1.7, 1.25, and 14%. These are all from Football Outsiders. It's the Cleveland's second level yards, and I'll define these in a second. So second level yards, open field yards, and stuff percentage. So second level yards is defined as yards where the team's running back earns between 5 to 10 yards past the line of scrimmage divided by the total running back carries. So kind of beyond the first level of defenders gets to the next one. So 1.7 for Cleveland. That's first in the NFL. Open field yards is the team's running back earns more than 10 yards past the line of scrimmage divided by the total running back carries. So that's 1.25. That's mm-hmm. second for Cleveland. And stuff percentage is the percentage of runs where the running back is tackled at or behind the line of scrimmage. So that's 14%, which is the sixth best. The Cleveland has the sixth best in the NFL. So the point of all this is to say that, as you kind of would all already know watching any of the Cleveland game, is their running backs are good, their offensive line is good, and it's in good in all different kind of phases of it. You know, they get to the second level, they're able to hit home runs, and they're also not taking negative plays. So stopping the running game is going to be really big in this game. And you know, just for comparison, the Ravens are 22nd, 20th, and 16th in those categories. So,
which is not really a shocker given how bad the expected yards per carry have been by runner and you know, all the injuries.
Yep.
It's a great number. Obviously, they have a lot of home run hitting power on that in Chubb, really all by himself, frankly. I got one more number here, one more pair, plus 7% and minus 16.7%. Plus 7%. Is the difference from the league average in terms of red zone percentage for the Ravens offense. So they are 7 percentage points better than the average in the league in terms of how often they score in the red zone. And minus 16.7% is the defense is 16.7% better than the average, meaning 16.7 percentage points lower in terms of the likelihood to score. And I should have what the average percentages in terms of red zone scoring, but I don't have that. My guess is it's probably around 50%, but I don't know for you directly there.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure either, but you know, those are the right sides to be on both of those, you know. So the offenses look good, you know. I think the addition of a bunch of new weapons, and the defense is, like we talked about, been really stout on a lot of plays in the red zone for sure. So I think that's going to come in huge over the next 7-game stretch. And kind of talking about that 7-game stretch and the final push for the rest of the regular season, just a couple of percentages here looking ahead to the Cleveland game. 59%, 72%, and 39%. These are based off of ESPN's Football Power Index, the chances to win the AFC North. Currently, they're sitting at 59%. With a win this week against Cleveland, that jumps up to 72%. And with a loss, it drops down to 39%. So a huge swing of what is that, 43%? Nope, 33%. 33% just on this one game. And it's pretty close to a must win, I think, for the AFC North. I think, you know, it's going to be really hard to play Cleveland again in 3 weeks, they have a huge advantage. So many, you know, the bye week and at home. So just a huge advantage if we don't beat them this week. So.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be very difficult to see them again and have hope. And even if they don't, I mean, they'll adjust in more positive ways than the Ravens were, just because they have 2 weeks to prepare, but also because whoever loses generally adjusts more positively the second time around. So, I agree. And at 33% leverage, I'm not even really surprised by that amount. I could see it being higher in terms of the difference. It's an absolutely enormous game, even for this point in the season. Dan, always a pleasure to do this show with you week after week. Just all kinds of fun, great numbers, and a lot of good explanations that I appreciate from you on this. Hopefully, you'll have a good Thanksgiving. Tell folks where they can talk football with you.
Yeah, reach out to me. Give me a follow or whatever over at Twitter, DPReese8. And I just want to say, Ken, have a happy Thanksgiving, and all the listeners out there, I hope you guys have a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll forgo the 25 years pitch. You know how to get in contact for me on that. But if you're traveling, please be safe. Enjoy your family, and maybe take a moment to reach out to that person who's not enjoying Thanksgiving with anybody, and just give them a call tomorrow and say hi. And that's something I think people always appreciate. Dan, we'll talk to you next time.
Yep, and have a good one.
Talk to you next time on Film Set.